Is it time for a podcast already?
Check 1 2, check 1 2, check 1 2, check 1 2.
I go to your seat, lady, cause this one's a screamer.
I didn't know that.
Well, hello there. Welcome back, listeners. We are back with another episode of the Garlic Jar Podcast Show. It seems like it's been forever. I know we were a little bit busy over the weeks, and we'll be honest with you. We have a lot going on, and between the school, between the work, between the personal obligations going on, between all three of us, we've been kind of taking a couple weeks off. And we definitely know that we sidelined some of our Halloween activities this year, but we hope that hopefully next season we'll bring them to a better move. We will talk about our winner at the end of the episode here for our jack-o'-lantern contest, so stay tuned for that. But real quick, let me just kind of introduce here who we got going on tonight. Everybody knows I'm Matt, and I'm joined here with Zach tonight. Zach, say hello to everybody.
What's going on, guys?
All right, awesome. It's the two of us, so we are definitely traveling here as a duo, which we'll be traveling out to a Philadelphia Philly, or not a Phillies game, a Flyers and Bruins game as a duo next Saturday. I know we were talking about that on the podcast. What was that, a couple weeks back before we came out with this one tonight?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm looking forward to that. I think that's honestly the only big thing that I'm looking forward to as the semester's coming to a wrap, just to get out to a sports venue, get out to see a game, you know, and watch those Bruins beat the Flyers.
I don't know about that.
No, I don't know, man. I think so.
Guess we'll see.
I guess we will. But, anything going on, Zach? Anything good?
No, I'm just, you know,
working,
sitting here looking at the UCS ATAT.
Yeah, I heard there was some big Lego news this week. And honestly, actually, Lego's been dropping a lot of news, actually, over the past couple weeks. But we will be talking about some Lego sets, because I have one in particular that I want to bring up to everybody in the crowd here listening tonight. If everybody does know, we are recapping an episode. We were supposed to have an episode air around, obviously, the end of October, which would have been our Halloween episode. And it was kind of like our Mischief Night episode. So, being that we had technical difficulties, I thought it was very proper. Well, let's kind of explain this. What happened was, we had some technical difficulties. We recorded an episode, and some of us were a little fine-tuned. But the other big problem was, we were working with a microphone, because we were so excited about getting everybody there all in one location. And Zach, you could attest for this too. We were sitting all in front of one table. We had the microphone pretty much put in the middle, and we were hoping that that was going to capture everything around the room. And unfortunately, it didn't go the route that we planned. I wish there was a way that we could have heard it before and could have stopped it, but it sounded like Jenna was like, she literally sounded like she was on the radio. And then all of us talking, it literally sounded like we were echoing from another room, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm kind of confused because, like, I mean, I know the mic settings on this JLab. If anybody has any technical experience with JLab Pro microphones, hit me up on Facebook or, like, email me. I'd like to actually know if anybody has a resolve for this, because I'm trying to figure out what the best setting would be to kind of put this in the middle so that we could kind of collect a good audio tone of people talking into it. But, yeah, that did not just – it did not manage well. I mean – it sounded great for Jenna. Jenna sounded great, but us, forget it. I mean, we sounded like we were far, far, far away, you know? So, I don't know if you ever had that any issues with microphones, Zach. I mean, I know you've been working with them. You've been using them with, like, gaming and everything like that, with different, like, presets and working into a board and everything like that. Have you ever had any issues like that where it seemed like your audio was so far away?
Yeah, my old mics used to have that issue, but I haven't had that issue since I upgraded.
And that's now with, like, the switchboard that you have and everything?
Yeah, now.
Yeah. See, I'm thinking maybe I should try to venture in down there. Maybe that's the next move once I get the gaming rig hooked up.
I don't know. I went to an XLR mic, and I'm never going back to anything else.
Oh, XLR is good. That's good input, man. That's good input.
Yep.
Well, here we are. We are at episode 70. We title it tonight. It's called Mischief Managed. So, we're going to recap. We had some major technical difficulties, as we said before. But we want to go back to a topic about Mischief Night. And I know that Halloween has passed. I know October has passed. But, you know, I always thought that this was an interesting topic because it's the night before Halloween. People sometimes do tend to, you know, gather for get-togethers at the house. Maybe parties, you know, the night before Halloween. But traditionally, I mean, we always kind of knew it as Mischief Night. And I don't know. I mean, Zach, did you ever hear of that? Like, was the night before Halloween always referred to as Mischief Night for you?
Yeah.
So, and I mean, we kind of get that idea of what happens on Mischief Night. You know, the ghouls and goblins, a.k.a. the kids, you know, they get out. They have their eggs armed. They have toilet paper ready to roll across the trees and properties and stuff. And that, I mean, that's just the typical. That's like, that's, you know, eggs and toilet paper. But, you know, like I used to have stories about, you know, some of the stuff that used to happen in my house. Like we would have so many crazy things occur on Hampton Drive. And, you know, I could laugh about it over the years. Like I've had people put dog shit in a chicken kicker's box from Domino's. I've had that happen. I've had people steal Halloween decorations. I've had the egging. I've had spray paint on the garage door. I remember one year, and very creative of some kids. I don't know who they were, but kudos, because we still cannot figure out how they lifted a planter that was so heavy and ripped all the plants out of the planter and put them all on the tops of our cars out the front of the house. And remember that one year, my dad's out there, he's cleaning the cars off. There's soil all over the car. There's a big plant on top of the freaking SUV and everything like that. But then it even got better because as we were cleaning up that, you know, my dad notices that there's something jammed in the side mirror on the driver's side. And like, there's like that little crevice in between the mirror. Like you think, what the hell could be in there? And my dad's picking this out with a screwdriver, a full slice of pizza jammed in the side mirror. So like, if you think crazy things happen, I mean, it's not just egging. I mean, I guess kids are cooking up more traditional methods, I guess you could say, you know? Zach, did you ever have anything happen to your house? Like, did anybody ever go around up there by Scott Township, ever do any shit?
Yeah, I get paintballs every year.
Paintballs every year?
Yep.
And I'll tell you what, that's kind of where you're located. That's an easy access point where people could just drive down that road so quick and launch a couple pop, 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 pop right off, you know?
Yeah, it's usually what happens right on the side of the garage.
Oh, God. It is, though. It's so dickish, you know?
Yep.
I mean, I used to partake in activities like that, but I never caused, like, destruction, you know? And I can remember, like, a few years back. Remember I was telling you that somebody shot a BB through my parents' window?
Yep.
But, yeah. Yeah, we had somebody shoot a BB right through our freaking, the big living room window. And of course, when that happened, it cracked the glass so much it started spidery, you know, that spider web effect that it would just keep going and going and going. Now, eventually, you couldn't just replace that one piece of glass; you had to replace the whole frickin' window.
Yeah.
So, and I mean, you're not talking about like a couple $100; you're talking about a couple grand because it's a big window. So I know my parents were pleased with that. It just always seems like something Mischief Night. Something always happened on Hampton Drive. And it wasn't just our house. It was always the few houses right there on the block right before you get to the stop sign to get off the street, you know? But then again, though, you have the easy access. You go right to Main Road and you can go right off, you know? So that's some things that I remember of Mischief Night. But I guess another thing that, you know, it goes with the saying, you know, where does Mischief Night actually come from? And in the U.S., we know Halloween Eve, it goes by many names with variations in the areas, but Mischief Night has a strong presence, especially in the Northeast. Actually in Detroit, October 30th, that's actually known as Devil's Night. And some people actually might know Devil's Night from pop culture, from the Crow movie, Devil's Night. So, And in other parts of New England, they call it Cabbage Night. Are you a friend of cabbage? Are you a fan of cabbage?
No.
Me neither. I'm Irish and I hate cabbage. And same. Yeah, I don't get that. Like, pigs in a blanket, I can't eat the cabbage. You know, I can only eat the meat inside. Cabbage and noodles I could eat, but I can't eat cabbage alone by itself. I just don't know how people do that. How do you do it, people? How do you eat cabbage? How does it fucking happen? I'm dead serious. I mean, I like lettuce. I mean, it's definitely not the same. I don't know. It's not the same shit, but I don't know. I just don't know how people do it. But the oldest uses of the term Mischief Night, believe there, Zach, you might get a kick out of this. So it came from Britain. It was actually not in the U.S. It never actually originated. It was first known in instance at Oxford in 1790. So we're talking a long, long time ago here. So Britain was, it actually shows that Britain was the origin of this term Mischief Night. And then, of course, that obviously grew going into the New England colonies, the New England states here in the U.S., kind of carried over with us. And, yeah, that's how we have now Mischief Night. So, yeah, Mischief Night is that little night of destruction, and I guess it's the night before Halloween. So, listen, what we're trying to say here is, if you're going to celebrate Mischief Night next year and you want to have fun, you want to partake in those little activities, don't do anything stupid. You know, don't be shooting BBs at windows. Don't be ripping people's plants out of their freaking pots and throwing them all over cars. An egg or a toilet paper is fine. Okay? Moving on. Zach, we got another topic to talk about. Well, actually, we have two topics. We're going to turn over to sports. Baseball's done. World Series concluded. I'm so happy that Atlanta takes home the freaking trophy.
Me too. Cheaters always deserve to lose.
Yep. So there's no banging on trash cans for these guys over there in Houston.
Fuck the Astros.
Honestly, you know what? That's all I kept on saying during the World Series. Like, as soon as it got forced right down to the nitty-gritty, the last game, and I was like, my God, like, I could just see this happening. Like, are they really going to pull out another win for a World Series? And I think a lot of people were on that. They were on that side where it's like, no, we want Atlanta to win. I mean, come on, give it to Atlanta. When was the last time we saw them in a World Series? When did they win one the last time? It's nice to see that new team. And I'll tell you what, there's some great players on that team. Just great to see that Atlanta brought it home. So
I'm just happy Freddie Freeman got a ring.
Right? Yeah, I mean, I love Freddie Freeman. He's been there for a while, too. You know?
Yep.
So, yeah, World Series concluded. I was happy with that. Hockey is in full swing right now, full skate ahead. Basketball's going now, too. So that's another good thing going. At least we got basketball going, so we'll be talking more about that through the season. I don't think I'm going to have any hopes and dreams of the Celtics, but I'm sure you will have more productivity than we do, you know?
That's if my team can stay healthy.
Yep. But,
you know,
I think
your starters are fucking out, so.
Well, I think you're in a better situation than we are. I don't see anything going for the Celtics this year. But let's go over to NFL.
Isn't that the case every year?
you know, that's a jab.
I have to get one in there.
You know, I get that. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So, throwing me off here, going over to the NFL. There's two big topics right now being talked about. So we know we're going to bring up Aaron Rodgers, but I want to go to OBJ first. And we know Odell Beckham Jr., he was released. He's in the free agency. And you keep on hearing about all of these possible moves that could happen. Who's going to pick him up? I've heard everywhere from now the Patriots, the Packers. I've even heard who else was looking at as a potential spot. Dallas was another one. I guess another area that was looking at him was possibly the Raiders, which I cannot see that happening. I don't know why it would even happen. But I even saw that Los Angeles had a throw in there, too. I don't know if they actually made an offer or made a deal, but potential spots, that's some of the commentary they're looking at. So I guess the question is, where is OBJ going to go? Go ahead.
Seattle is in the mix too, mm-hmm. And I feel like if he doesn't go to the Packers, the only other spot that he's going to go is the Seahawks.
Seahawks.
Just because I don't see him playing for Bill Belichick.
See, I'm like, I don't know. I mean, you know, I mean, Mac is looking good in New England. I mean, I don't want to give I don't want to give credit where, you know, to these Patriots. You know, I mean, I hate the Patriots. You know, so but I'm looking at it like, I mean, I guess he came out and he said he only wants to go to a place that's going to have a postseason potential, you know?
Yeah.
I don't get him. I mean, he's thinking like a champ. He wants a fucking ring, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I kind of thought maybe the Packers was a good landing spot. I don't know. It's just hard to see. Now, Seattle is interesting. I would actually like to see Russell Wilson connect with OBJ. I think there could be some really good chemistry there. But hear me out on this. I mean, we didn't get any clarification that they weren't going to throw a bid in yet, but I really think Dallas could be the potential spot for him.
They don't need him. They already have two featured wide receivers. He wants to play in a spot where he's one of two featured wide receivers. He's not going to go there and be a third wide receiver.
Well, I don't think he would be. I mean, in that situation, he might be moved into a wide a WR2 spot, though. You know, I think if you signed him,
so you would play OBJ over CeeDee Lamb or Amari Cooper.
Well, I mean, Amari Cooper definitely deserves his number one spot. I mean, yeah. I would.
So you would play Odell Beckham over CeeDee Lamb.
Well, I would put it this way. I mean, it looks good on paper, but how is it actually gonna? You won't know until you actually try it. But I mean, CeeDee Lamb is actually, I would take him over it. I'm just saying, you have a potential to put a three-headed dragon out there on the field for Dak Prescott. You know?
Yeah.
And I mean, some people talk about that where you have the two-headed dragon, you know, when it comes to the running game, where you have a really good RB1 and RB2 established in your backfield there on offense. I mean, I don't know. I mean, it just looks good on paper. I mean, it's a potential spot. I mean, I do keep on reading that Dallas could be a favorable spot. Packers, I mean, that might actually be a more favorable just because of what they have going on. I mean, does Aaron Rodgers, could he really use a big weapon right now in Green Bay? I think maybe go ahead.
Yeah, he kind of needs one. He kind of needs a good number two because everyone's just going to double team Adams.
And see, that's where I think, like, it's kind of hard to see because I guess what I'm trying to say is I can't picture OBJ in a, I can't picture him in a Green Bay uniform, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess you could say, like, never say never because, I mean, we've obviously seen players go to, you know, wacky places and it actually turns out pretty good. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know where OBJ is going to land. I mean, there's a lot of talk where he could land. There's a lot of interest, I guess you could say, from teams. But so where do you think he's going to go? Seahawks?
I think he's going to end up in Seattle.
That's interesting. I do like that pick, though. I like that with Russell Wilson. I just feel there could be more chemistry there between those two.
So do I.
So, and I mean, Baker Mayfield was pretty, I mean, he was very appreciative of OBJ. He released a pretty good statement about him. I mean, doesn't seem like there's any ill hate there towards them on the release.
Yeah, he was appreciative when he could actually throw at the target and actually, you know. Too soon. Oops.
Yeah. Yeah, no, you're right. You're.
I don't know if you saw the video that was going around, but there was literally some guy made a highlight video of just Baker Mayfield completely not even looking towards OBJ's way and missing him wide open like every snap.
What if he goes to Jacksonville?
He's not going to Jacksonville. He wants to get a ring, Matt. He ain't got no hope in Jacksonville.
Oh, I knew that was coming. I knew that one was coming. I mean, hey, Trevor Lawrence, young quarterback. I mean, if OBJ gave it a couple seasons to try, and I think too, having that that wide receiver veteran there could be very cooperative, could be very influential for some of the young wide receivers that Jacksonville has. I mean, listen, I wouldn't throw it away. I would take it because at this point, I'll take anything just to get some wins. You know, just to see a turnaround.
Don't get your hopes up.
I know. And I'll tell you what, it was pretty impressive. I mean, that game that over the weekend, I still can't believe that we held the Bills for how aggressive a Bills team is this season. I still can't believe we held them to 6 points. It's
yeah, it still baffles my mind.
I mean, I think a lot of people on their pick'ems were kind of, you know, well, like, what the hell just happened here? I mean, because even for that week, when I did my pick'ems, I did not have Jacksonville winning that game. I had the Bills winning by a lot. And I just can't understand what Jacksonville did. But hey, whatever they adjusted, it worked. But it kind of reminded me of that playoff game back in the season when the Eagles won their Super Bowl. If you remember, the Bills and Jaguars, they did play a playoff game there, which pushed us into going after New England next. And yeah, I remember we played that. I think that was actually the same score. I think it was 9-6.
Probably.
Yep. So, yeah. So I thought that was kind of crazy because it was around a similar score or a similar basis. But yeah, I guess now we move over to Aaron Rodgers. I mean, he's getting a lot of backlash. Where do you want to start here, Zach?
Do you
side with them or do you not? I mean, because we all know what the issue is. We're talking about the vaccination status, you know? I mean, nothing is being blanked out of here. You know, and I think what people are saying is that, you know, you got to look at it from two sides. You know, respect the guy of his own opinion, his own matter towards it. And then, of course, look at the other side where the NFL Players Association, they had a COVID policy put in place, you know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I guess what I'm trying to get at is, like, how do you solve this? Like, I mean, because, you know, looking at Aaron Rodgers, like, listen, you're already halfway through your season almost, you know? Like, just, like, to me, like, I just want to tell everybody, get on, move on from it, you know? I mean, I get it, okay, we're making big matter out of this, and now, of course, everything's being thrown at him. Cancel Aaron, Aaron's a piece of shit. He didn't care about his team. He didn't care about other players by not doing this. I guess this is like the worst time that you could have media swirl around you during an NFL season because the team is doing good. They have a great record. And now it's a deterrent distraction to a team.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And I mean, you got to think about that. If somebody came after you and said somebody from the Philadelphia Eagles, what if it was, let's say, Jalen Hurts? You know, same status, same everything. And he was being swirled by this attention because of his vaccination status, you know? I mean, you'd probably be a little defensive about it, but at the same time, I mean, you got to understand where the rules are being implemented in by from the sport, the league. And I guess, I mean, that's where at least I put my back on the ropes. I mean, if the NFL came down to an agreement and the Players Association, I mean, this is very important because I have it pulled up here that the NFL Players Association calls for the league to conduct daily COVID-19 testing for fully vaccinated players. And then, of course, what's going on here is that, you know, they're trying to take daily testing into consideration. And being that, I mean, the assumption was is that Aaron Rodgers was vaccinated. I mean, but at the same time, he wasn't. You know?
Yeah.
It's such a weird situation, and I mean, I guess people are also pissed because of the fines that they threw at him. What do you think? What could you add to it?
Okay, so in terms of the fines, I understand the fines. Like, people knew that he was gonna get fined. The issue with the fines is how much he was fined.
Okay.
CeeDee Lamb was fined for Sunday for having his jersey untucked. He was fined $20,000 for having a jersey untucked. Yet Rodgers, for the COVID violations, was fined $14,000.
Okay.
So the player that had an untucked jersey was fined more. That's the issue with the fines.
Yeah.
It's not that he was fined, it's just how much he was fined.
Yeah.
So
I think what comes down to it, though, it's the situation, how Aaron handled it. I still don't think he should have did that interview with Pat McAfee on the podcast.
Oh, no.
Because, I mean, he pretty much revealed it there that, dude, you lied.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what it's coming down to. Like, the Players Association is saying here in report that if we continue to go down this path, they're going to need everyone in the football community to be aware of what lies ahead. You know?
Yeah.
And as of right now, if anybody's interested in knowing some stats, because I looked this up before, before we came on to air tonight, the league has announced that 93% of the players are vaccinated against the virus. That was reported by the Associated Press, and that's also reported by USA Today and The Hill. The two teams in the league that are completely and fully vaccinated are the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the Atlanta Falcons. They're the only two teams in the league that have all players vaccinated. So, coming down to Aaron Rodgers, why we talk about it, why is there so much controversy, why is there so much care in the world towards it? Well, it's because he lied. I think if he came out about it and he was, you know, he stressed the issue about vaccinations, you know, maybe he could have had a personal issue towards it. Maybe, you know, if he really had an issue, you know, maybe that could have been an understanding. But it even seemed like the Green Bay organization, they had to have known about it. They had to have known that. I feel like they're the ones that were, they're saying, oh, we're going to keep our mouth shut about this.
The organization didn't get fined.
They did, right?
Two. They got fined $300,000.
And that is such penny change.
Yeah.
That's penny change, man. I'm not saying that I want them to be slapped with every, you know, harsh penalty, but I mean, my God, $300,000 to a multi-billion dollar organization. I mean, my God. Again, that's chunk change.
Yep.
So, I mean, why does this come into topic? Why do we talk about it? Because he lied. It's mischievous. I think if he went about it a more professional manner, more professional way, this could be a lot more understanding for people rather than throw him under the bus and try to cancel him, you know? So I just think, you know, media and people in general today, man, they are freaking, they're like freaking buzzards and hawks. Like they just want to pick at you and wait until you're left for nothing, you know?
Yep.
I mean, and I agree. And I mean, I'm not trying to stick up for him because I'm not a big Aaron Rodgers fan. I'll be honest with you. I'm not either. But I mean,
I think he's overrated.
I think he's overrated too. I mean, great that he's got a Super Bowl ring. Okay, so he joins a club of Super Bowl winners, but I just think that he's an overrated player. I don't see any. I don't even put him in the elite category. You know? But kind of funny because last week, now November 9th of this week, too. So last week, the NFL revised the COVID-19 protocol, and they're advising that vaccinated players should be tested weekly instead of every 14 days. And as of right now, I pulled this up from the NFLPA COVID-19 protocols for the 21 regular season. It was updated on November 9th, 2021, due to the situation here with Aaron Rodgers. So this was updated as of recent.
Yeah.
So, all right. So that kind of goes into that. Do you have anything else to add on OBJ or anything else to add on Mr. Aaron Rodgers? The Green. Go ahead.
There is actually a funny tweet that Darius Slay put out.
Okay.
And he was trying to recruit OBJ to the Eagles by saying that he basically tweeted at him and said that they haven't played the Giants yet this year. So he's trying to use that to, you know, get revenge on his old team for trading him away in the first place.
So what would be your reaction if you... No, I'm dead serious. If you woke up tomorrow, right? If you woke up tomorrow and you saw that the Eagles got OBJ.
I mean, if he wasn't going to be a cancer to the team and actually show up and play ball, then I'm all for it.
Okay. And that's...
But if he's going to show up and be a toxic bitch, then get the fuck out.
So... You're agreeing with a lot of people here that this guy stirs up a lot. I'm not saying he stirs up controversy, but it just seems like he's a head case. He's a head problem for the field.
Hey, you know? He's a headache.
Yeah. And I kind of think like that goes back to like a Terrell Owens type of caliber player where, again, another headache. You have a Dez Bryant type situation, another headache. Like there are these players that feel like they're acclaimed, you know, like they deserve more than others.
Yep.
So I'm glad that we're on that same page because honestly, that's how I kind of view OBJ. I think Odell Beckham Jr., he's a great player, but I don't think he's the greatest, you know? And you got to remember, too, consider age. I mean, he's been in the league for a while. So, I mean, you're not getting in my opinion, I mean, I don't know. I mean, if you want to add on this, you're not getting a prime wide receiver. I mean, he's still a good wide receiver, too, category from in my perspective. But I would never put him in a wide receiver one spot.
He could be a good wide receiver one on certain teams.
Oh, see? I gotta disagree with that.
If he gets the right team, and he could be a good wide receiver one.
See, and that's why I was kind of being a little bit generous here to put him on Dallas, because if you kind of just move things a little bit and shift it where you have wide receiver one, Amari Cooper, wide receiver two, Odell Beckham Jr., and then wide receiver three, CeeDee Lamb. You know, I don't know. I mean, again, it sounds good on paper because he got the three-headed dragon, you know? I don't know. I guess we'll see where he lands.
He wants a ring. He's not going to go to Dallas.
Oh, man. Shots fired by the Eagles fan.
Just saying.
Well, hey, you never know. I'm curious. I think he's going to land somewhere by... I guarantee you by next Tuesday of next week, we're going to see him land somewhere. Somebody's going to pick him up. Somebody's going to put definitely. Him. Yeah.
Definitely.
I think right now, like where you just see, because it's going into Thursday, I can't see anything being dealt over Veterans Day. I think it's going to be a weekend deal where somebody does solidify, they pull them in, they have them come in for a visit, and then they do a contract signing, you know, early in the next week.
Yeah, most likely.
But I do like Seattle. I do have to piggyback on that. I think that that's a real good potential spot. Like now, if I thought about it, like if I were to say top three teams where I could see him landing, I mean, I'm throwing my Dallas in there. My Dallas pick, not my Dallas, because I'm not a Dallas fan, but my Dallas pick. I'm still going to put the Packers on, but I can't see him in a Green Bay uniform. It's just weird. But yeah, you know what? I'm going to put your third spot at Seattle. I like that. That's a very good spot. Very good consideration, too. I mean, hey, this is what we do. We talk NFL during the week. I mean, we glue to our freaking fantasy teams. Well, you glue to your fantasy team. Sometimes I have to be reminded because I can't even change the lineup, you know?
Uh-huh.
And I saw that I lost by a little bit this week. A little bit. I was a little disappointed. I thought after having that 58-point explosion there in the start of the week, I thought that was going to catapult some of my scores, but it did not work.
I got embarrassed.
Yep.
My team was horrible this week.
Well, did you end up winning, though?
God, no.
Oh, man.
Matt, the only players that I had over 20 points were my quarterbacks.
Yeah, but didn't you have people on buys, too? I thought you had...
Leonard Fournette and Chris Godwin. That's it.
Okay. How's Jen?
I had exactly 100 points, and I lost to Jen.
Oh, you were playing Jen.
I was playing Jen.
So where's Jenna at on the standings? I think right now I'm 3-6.
She's 5-4, just like me.
Wow. Good for her, too.
Yeah, there's like four people that are 5-4.
Jen, did she ever change out her quarterback? Did she ever pick anybody up? Or is she still...
Yeah,
or is
she picked somebody up. I forget who.
Okay, because I didn't know if she was still riding there with Ben Roethlisberger.
Oh, God, no. She dropped him.
That's good. I'm glad for that. Jen, if you're listening to us, I'm glad that you did that. So, kudos. Well, the next topic that we're going to go into, it's another one that obviously it's been talked about all week. And, you know, I mean, I got to talk about it because being a musician and being somebody that has played live shows and I've gone to many concerts, I've had the opportunity to open up for national acts. You know, obviously nothing that big. I mean, come on. I mean, opening up for washed up hair metal bands. I mean, it's not the best, but it's still a national act. But, I mean, I guess this story kind of does hit a little home in a way. Because, I mean, you know, I look at the environment of a concert, you know, and, you know, one thing that I look at, any type of show, I mean, you're there to put on a great piece of entertaining act for your audience. I mean, it doesn't matter what music category we're talking about, rock, country, metal, rap. You know, the point is, if you're a true artist and you're a true craft of what you really do, lyrically, in writing your music, performing your music, you know that you want to put on a hell of a show for your audience. And of course, what happens here at this Astro World Astro Fest, I mean, it's kind of devastating because of obviously what happened, but you know, the controversy is coming back that, you know, it's all going on Travis Scott, you know? And I get that. I mean, I haven't seen much of the videos. I've seen a couple where in instances where, you know, they were showing that the crowd was very hectic up the front. And one thing I want to kind of tell people about that is that any type of show that has a mosh pit, I mean, you know what you're signing up for. Now, I know people will come after me and say, whoa, now hang on. Now, before somebody does point this out and come after me, I'm saying this truthfully, that you know if you go up to the front area of the act, you're in an area of very hyper-tensive activity. You know, I mean, the adrenaline rush, the audience is at full stream ahead. I mean, it is. Most cases in performing, and I've been in a lot of mosh pits. I've been there to concerts between metal, rock, and all that. I know what a mosh pit is, and I know what it entails. And if you can't handle it, you should not be in that area. I could give you a good example. I was at Exodus, Megadeth, and Testament. Now, those are heavy metal bands. And I'm going to tell you something. If you want to see what mosh pits are like, I mean, at metal shows, they do get very congested. They do get very aggressive. But if somebody were to go down and something happened to somebody, that mosh pit would make sure somebody was back up. And that's what I respect, is that the people that you have at these shows, you know, if you're in that environment, you know, people are there to pick back up and know that, listen, hey, we're not here to cause the trouble. We're here to have the fun. So to me, I mean, looking at this, I think Travis Scott is, he's in boiling water because he had a chance to stop things and cool it down. And looking at, and I'm just looking at the videos that I saw this week. He had every opportunity to kind of not shut it down, but like control it. And maybe, just eliminate some of the hyperactivity that obviously it drew on, worse scenario. I think what it comes down to is that with Travis, I mean, I hate to say it. I mean, I think it comes down to a lot of his responsibility. And I mean, I'm talking about this because, I mean, there's a couple songs that you got me listening to from Travis Scott that I have on my Spotify, you know? No, I'm dead serious. So I know that you're a fan. I mean, right? Could I at least say that you're a fan of Travis Scott?
Oh, I'm definitely a fan.
Okay. But I mean, I could go on Spotify right now and I could pick out which, I mean, if I could pull it up here. But I mean, recently I have added music and I think he's really good. He's a fucking great entertainer. I mean, I'm not going to lie. I mean, I can see why people like him, because he's very good, you know, but I mean, I got to ask you, Zach, like what do you think about all this? I mean, everything that's going on around him, it's circulating, all the news, all the media. I mean, the lawsuits are coming out. People are throwing lawsuits out like they're like pennies in a freaking fountain, you know?
Well, yeah, any chance they have at money, they're going to take.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a tough situation in his shoes, because you're trying to, like...
Do you think it comes down to him? Do you think it comes down to him or the concert venue, though? Do you think it comes down to Live Nation too?
I think it comes down to both.
Okay.
I think collectively, I think it takes two parties to make sure that everyone's safe. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, because like, if you think about it from his shoes, you know, you're up on the stage, 500,000 people. You know, you're kind of reading the whole crowd, not just one area of the crowd. You know what I mean?
Yeah, 50,000 people is a lot, man.
Yeah,
that is a lot for a concert.
That's a lot of people. So,
well, that, I mean, kind of made me think.
You can control.
That kind of made me think. Do you think that this venue allowed too many people in? Because I mean, I'm trying to think like right off the bat. Like, let's talk capacities. Beaver Stadium. Do you know how much that stadium holds?
Yeah. I want to say like 120-some thousand.
Okay.
I think.
Okay. So if I just did, yeah, if I just did a quick search here, like Beaver Stadium capacity, because I did this also during the week. Yeah, they could hold about 107,000 people.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, that's a lot of people. But for a concert ground, I mean, I was just even looking at it this way. I mean, I know that this Astrofest is nowhere near the size of Toyota Pavilion, But I even looked that one up. Toyota Pavilion here at Montage. And this one was, I was actually shocked because I couldn't believe like they could actually hold this much. And the capacity up there at Montage is 16,000 people. So that's including what you could sit under the pavilion and plus all of your free roam seating out in the lawn areas. Yeah. So, I mean, I would think that that's kind of your average area for a concert area. I would say anywhere from 15,000 to 25,000 people.
Don't forget, it was down in Texas. Texas is a big state.
Well, sure.
So they're obviously going to have more space.
Yeah. I just think, I think a couple things come down to this. I think the concert venue allowed way too many more people of the capacity. I'm sure something's going to come out about that. I just have a feeling. Because, 50,000 is a lot. I mean, we're not trying to fill Wembley here. We're not trying to fill Yankee Stadium or some of these big-known venues. I mean, that's a lot of people for a concert ground. I mean, if we want to go back even further, I mean, let's look back at Woodstock, okay? Now, that we could look back, right? Woodstock is explosive, meaning there is a lot of area out there. And that capacity back in the day had 400,000 people. How many people went to Woodstock? It was estimated at 400,000 people. But remember, look at the size of Woodstock compared to a place like this out in Texas. You know?
Yeah.
That Astrofest is probably marginal to the size of Woodstock out in Bethel. So I think a couple things come down to it. I think there was way too many more people allowed into the concert venue. So I'm sure something will be addressed about that. I think part responsibility does come down to the venue and the concert arranged event, the organizer, Live Nation. But I also think, too, part of it has to come down to Travis Scott because he had the opportunity to stop it. And there were. I mean, I'm just saying, there's video there that he saw and he knew what was going on. He did at one point acknowledge and say, whoa, hey, what's going on? You know, hey, be careful up here. Stop. But he just kept on performing while people were trying to get his attention more and more after that to say, hey, stop the concert, you know? So I think both are in part of responsibility.
Yeah.
So it's unfortunate because, like I said, he's a very good performer. And he's
still not getting canceled, though.
No, I don't think so either. I think
he's too big to get canceled.
He's too big. He's way too big. And like I said, it's just another. It's unfortunate because it's like, man, like this is what I'm talking about. Like, there's no good news anymore. You know, like nothing. And that's the thing. Like, we're not a news podcast. You know, we're only talking about it because in pop culture. All right, Travis Scott. He's huge. He's popular. All right. Music is pop culture. Movies are pop culture. Sports is pop culture. You know, I mean, we talk about this because it's like, we still know that there's so many support and so many fans behind him, but a lot of people are knowing, obviously, what's going on with this situation. It's unfortunate. And with the unfortunate aspect of it becomes unfortunate events. You know?
Yeah.
I just think, you know, if Travis wants to try to make this a better situation, comply with it. If I was him, like I said, from the musician aspect, I mean, if I knew something was going down, as a performer, I would say, hey, cut the fucking act. That's it. We're done. Shut it down right now until we figure this out. You know, that would be me. And I'm sure a lot of people would probably side with me because, you know, we've seen enough shows to actually see what happens with injuries and a lot of people getting hurt. And that's not what the concerts are about. Nobody wants to get hurt. You're there to enjoy a concert. Music is, it's an art. An art is expressive. An art is something to love and be entertained to. So, I mean, yeah, as a performer, I kind of see, like, I mean, if I was in that shoes, I would have shut it down immediately. And I'm sure, I mean, thinking of it too, I mean, Zach, like, you know, you'd have to agree with that too in a little bit of a way. You know, like, if you knew something was a little uncomfortable and things were happening, you'd be catching that in your detail too, you know?
Yeah.
But I hope everything kind of gets arranged. I hope everything does get back to normal. We are going to take a quick break. When we get back, we're going to get to better topics here because we got some LEGO news. I want to talk about Squid Game and then Spider-Man. So we will be right back. All right, welcome back, listeners. We are now just joined after the break here. And yeah, we talked about a bunch of stuff that went down during the week. Just got done recapping about little good old Mischief Night, the NFL there with those topics of Aaron Rodgers and OBJ. And we also talked about the Travis Scott concert. Right now, we're going to gear into some more happy news. And for our LEGO lovers out there, we have a little bit of LEGO segment here where we're going to be talking about some upcoming sets that are being released or already out. So, Zach, I'm going to let you take it with the UCS set.
Yeah, so completely unexpected, but LEGO decided to drop an early bombshell and officially review the UCS AT-AT.
Okay.
And what a bombshell it was.
Well, I think we need some details. I mean, so, let's start from the beginning. It's the UCS AT-AT.
Yes.
We all know what that is. That's the big walker we see in The Empire Strikes Back.
Yes.
Yep.
So, it's going to retail for $800, matching the UCS Falcon, which is just insane. That's an insane amount of money.
Yep.
Ripped to my wallet when this releases.
How many times has LEGO actually ripped to your wallet, though?
Oh, it's...
you know, come on!
A lot. But, so, yeah. It is going to have 6,785 pieces, and it's going to come with 9 minifigures on this build. It's actually up on LEGO.com if you guys want to see for yourself how big this really is, but it is measuring over 24.5 inches high, 27 inches long, and 9.5 inches wide.
That's crazy.
Which is... That's just mental. It is. That's just mental.
Yeah, I mean, I'm already trying to figure out, like, if I had it in hand and I was picking it up. I mean, this thing has to have some significant weight because of the amount of pieces, but also because of the dimensions overall. You know, I mean, my God. I mean, 10 inches wide. My God, we're almost, it's almost like a foot, you know?
I think most of that's the bottom of the feet, though.
So do you think that that's like, see, I'm thinking
that's just like the edge of 1 foot to the edge of another foot.
Okay.
I don't think that's the body of the build, but I mean, hey, I could be wrong.
We won't know until we build it.
Yeah.
9 minifigs though. I mean, I like what I'm seeing here because we get 5 snowtroopers.
Well, 4 snowtroopers and 1 snowtrooper commander.
Okay.
There's one that's actually different, and the only difference is a marking on the chest.
Okay, yep, I see that. Yep.
You get General Veers, 2 pilots, yep, and Luke Skywalker. But
not gonna lie, I like it.
Yeah, I'm loving this.
6,785 pieces.
Yep. Honestly, my favorite part about this whole set, if you remember, do you remember the Star Wars books that had like the X-ray vision of the AT-AT?
Yes.
If you go on LEGO.com, underneath it, they have a picture of it displayed with the side panels off, and it just instantly reminded me of that.
Well, I think that's... We were talking about this, I think, over break, because we were kind of looking at pictures. Like, here we are. Not going to lie. If anybody doesn't know by now, Zach and I are, like, real big LEGO aficionados. Like, I mean, I would even put it more past that. I mean, we're collectors for life, you know? And I'm not going to lie. I've paid a pretty good penny for sets over the years. Not saying that you didn't, Zach, because you definitely paid. Paid a lot.
The most I've ever paid for a single set was $500.
Oh, wow. And that would have been your LEGO Star Destroyer.
Actually,
right?
700, sorry. Yeah, no, 700.
700.
Was the Star Destroyer.
Well, that's pretty close. I mean, this is $800, so it's $100 more.
Yeah.
But going back to those side panels, like, if we look at it, like, I'm just... Look at the amount of chairs. Look at the detail inside that, like, you could sit so many of those minifigures. There's one part of it where it shows the exhaust and the motoring compartment of the actual mechanics going on. Underneath that, the cargo where they have the snow speeders, the bikes. That's my favorite part. Like, if I were to actually say, like, I took these side panels off, it's not so much about what you could see in there, like the minifigs. It's that last bottom part where it's like you have cargo.
Yeah.
You know, harnessing the bikes. And then that top portion where it's the motorization of the mechanics.
Yeah,
you
know? I like the vents up there, but I don't know. I instantly thought of the like the book with like the X-ray stuff where it's like explaining all the inner workings of it. I thought that was pretty cool that you can display it like that.
Oh yeah. But, and how about the compartment? Are you looking at the one picture that I love here? Is there? I think it's actually the right side of it. Like when you actually stand it up, so on the right side, there's one panel that's actually able to open, and it shows the minifigure with the artillery gun.
Yeah,
freaking love that, because look at the panels inside. You know, like the walls. They don't look like they're decaled. They look like they're printed, and it's those walls that you would see typically, like in the Death Star, you know, anything of the Imperial.
Yeah.
Designs. Imperial hardware, I'll call it, you know?
Yep.
And then I'm looking at the one picture where it's just sitting on this guy's desk where it's, like, right next to a water glass.
It's huge. Yeah, no, it's, man. It's massive.
My God, this thing is, like, it's the taller, size of a dog.
It's taller than his lamp on the right.
My God, it's bigger than, it's bigger than our cats.
Yeah.
And then I love the picture with the actual guy, like, holding it. He's there, like, face-to-face with it. Like, just look at his hand up by the neck area of it. Like, just looking at the head of it is so huge. That's where I'm saying, like, I can't wait to actually see how wide this is, because I think it's a lot bigger than we think, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
But, so with the legs, for those of you that know the play scale versions, you can just use your hands to move the legs. This isn't going to be the case with the UCS set. There's an actual tool that they include that you have to use to move the legs.
That's the thing.
I'm not a big fan of it, but I understand why they did it, because they said for the longest time they would have made this set earlier, but stability issues were the main reason.
I think it's
they couldn't get it stable, and now that this is the only way they could get it stable.
But I mean, a set like this has to go on caliber. I mean, this is collectors. I mean, this is something that you're not going to want to take on the ground and play with. I mean, I don't do that, but I mean, I'm just saying, I mean, everything that I have is out on display. It's on for show, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, but if a kid were to buy this, like if somebody said, hey, I'm buying this for my kid, you know, 8 to 12 years old. I mean, I would highly recommend, like, that's not what the usage is here for this. I mean, this is a model. Like, I mean, when you talk about Legos, I mean, there's a difference between the playset and the model, you know?
This is the first UCS set that's actually 100% minifigure scale.
It's crazy.
So it's interesting to see what they and how it does. I think it's going to do really well.
Could you imagine if that freaking Star Destroyer that you bought was scaled for minifigs?
That'd literally be impossible.
Well, it would be, right? You would have to think. You would think it'd have to be a bigger set.
There's no way that Star Destroyer that I have could ever have an interior.
And watch, 2 years from now, they'll release something bigger.
If they do it, I don't know how people would display it.
Well, I'll
it'd have to be massive.
That's where I'm gonna contact you and be like, "Hey, listen, can I buy that old one off you, and you buy the new one?" You know. Oh, my dogs are already telling me, don't buy it, Matt. Lauren, I'll kill you. All right, so I do like that set. And it does hit home for me, because if anybody knows me with Star Wars, the AT-AT has been one of my beloved and favorite, I guess you could say, I don't want to call it starships, but it's
transport. It's a troop transport.
It's a transport. It was one of my favorite vehicle. If you even want to go a little bit lower than that, if like somebody wouldn't know how to determine and categorize it, yes, it's like one of my favorite Star Wars vehicles. If you want to be generic,
yeah.
But
it is releasing midnight Black Friday this year in the US, which is November 26th.
I'm just a little pissed that they're not giving the VIPs a little extra time. Like, you know how, like, with, like, the Spider-Man Daily Bugle, when that was released? Mm-hmm. Now, I understand why that was a good marketing on their concept, because Marvel being so big and the Spider-Man movie coming out this year, they did that at such a convenient time to make sure that the VIPs had first grabs at it, because that first week, you couldn't get that set. It had, I mean, I think it was like 3 weeks after the sell, that's when they started getting it back. And even right now, if you go and you search it, you can't get the Daily Bugle. It's hard to find. It's out of stock. It's been out of stock mm-hmm. for now the past 2 months. And that's a good one. I mean, if anybody's a Marvel collector right now, especially a Spider-Man lover, you know, I mean, if you really love Spider-Man, you might want to get dibs and you might want to try and get that Daily Bugle set, because talk about minifigs. I mean, yo, holy shit. I mean, there is a ton in there. I've already seen people on eBay just selling the pack of minifigs because they come in a separate box from the set, you know? And if anybody wants a little extra detail on that Daily Bugle, it's $300. It's a LEGO exclusive. They do not sell it in retail stores, so it's got to either be bought through LEGO.com or it's got to be bought through the LEGO store.
That's how the AT-AT is going to be, too.
It's LEGO exclusive, right?
Yep.
Okay.
Exclusive to the LEGO stores or LEGO.com.
Yep. And this one is an 18 or older set. It's almost 4,000 pieces. And if you have a VIP account, you almost get 2,000 VIP points just for buying it. It's LEGO item 76178, and it comes with 25 minifigures. 25 minifigures. That's including your Spider-Man and a whole fucking array of villains. So, I mean,
Did I also mention that you get 5,200 VIP points for buying the AT-AT?
You did not, but now that you've included that, that might have intrigued a lot of buyers out there. Like,
that actually might be the most VIP points for a single set you could earn ever.
That's crazy. That is absolutely crazy. I mean, I'm looking at it right now. I mean, I'm going back and forth. I mean, the minifigures here for the Spider-Man set, Mysterio, Spider-Man, they have Carnage, they have freaking Daredevil, looks like Black Cat, then they have a worker from the Daily Bugle. There's just so many. There's so many other villains. Doc Ock, the Green Goblin, Venom. I think I mentioned that before.
It is.
Yeah, it's absolute crazy. I'm seeing Deadpool in here, too.
It is. That is the single most VIP points ever in LEGO history for a set.
Real quick, though, do you think that this set right here, the Daily Bugle, do you think that this is the... Because I'm trying to think, like, I mean, this set might actually... Because I'm trying to think back to other ones that offered an amount of minifigures. I can't think of the last set that released that many.
I can.
I mean, I can remember going back to buying Wild West sets, and I mean, you were lucky if you got 10. You got 5 Cowboys and 5 Indians, you know?
Mos Eisley Cantina.
Was that in the category, almost, of 25?
Yeah, it was like 30.
Really?
Yeah, hold on. I'll pull it up right now. Because I have it. I just haven't built it yet.
Zach, I don't know if I would build that, though, because that set is fetching for a lot of money right now on eBay.
I'm telling you, you might
easily make a grand off that if you try selling that. And if you sit on that for a year, easily you could probably get a grand for that.
Oh, definitely.
I mean, I know there's some sets that you want to keep and everything like that because it's, you know, it's
21 minifigs.
Oh, wow. So the Daily Bugle has more.
Yeah.
Wow.
But it's still up there.
It is. It's still up there. All right. So since we're still on LEGO, you Christmas lovers out there, Christmas movies, how about Home Alone? You would have never thought in the years that LEGO would conjure up a design to bring a Home Alone set to your household. How about that? Kevin McAllister in LEGO form. Harry and Marv. Holy shit. It's here. So, they have, from LEGO Ideas, this is a new set that's being released for the holidays. It's actually already on sale. It's already out of stock. Not shocked. Because, like I said, this is how it happens. But it's the McAllister Household. Yes, the McAllister Household. Comes in a limited edition Home Alone Ideas box. Looks pretty cool. And, I mean, it's cool because, like, what I like is that they have so many setups and so many elements built into the house with the booby traps. They're already set up. So, like, I think that's one cool feature. Like, if you were to show it and demonstrate it and say, hey, do you remember this part in the movie where Harry tried coming through the back door and he got the flame hit on his head? They have that little flamethrower, that little kettle that threw the flame. And it's just all the other ones. The spider scene up the stairs into the hallway. The tar scene where Marv steps on the nails. It's just, it's so cool. Like, I could reminisce because I'm thinking back to, like, the, you know, the Christmas movie that we love, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, this is one of the most popular Christmas movies that you'll ever encounter in pop culture. And in fact, I would think that this is probably the blockbuster of Christmas movies, you know? So to own a Lego set that goes around that, I mean, I think that's pretty awesome. I do love the detail inside the house. I love the fact that they feature some of the booby traps. Again, I know I said that. I'm sounding like a repeating record or whatever you want to call it.
Broken record,
yeah. But yeah, like this is a cool set. This is something I want to get my hands on. And it's retailing at $249.99. It's a Lego exclusive. It's new, so you can't buy it in the retail. You got to go through Lego.com, or you got to go to a Lego store to get it. But yeah, it's big, Zach. I mean, it's almost 4,000 pieces. The height of it is almost a foot. The width of it is 14 inches. Many figures, you get 5. So you're getting Kevin McAllister, Harry, Marv, the mother, and I think you're getting the, let's see, is it a cop? I'm trying to see what the minifigures are. Kind of want to make sure I get this right. Okay, so it's Kevin, it's the robbers, Harry, Marv, the mother. That right there would be the icing on the cake to buy this. You get the shoveler. You get the old man, the shoveler. That is really cool. Okay. So yeah, that's going on my wish list.
Just saying the Star Destroyer is in stock on Lego.com. Just putting that out there.
You trying to persuade people to make big purchases tonight? I think it's working. Yeah.
Just saying.
Oh man, I might be dropping an easy grand here. I'm telling you, I could be in huge trouble.
The Hogwarts Castle is back in stock too.
The Hogwarts?
Yeah.
That's a big one too. Yep, that's a big one. Speaking of big sets, how about Titanic?
Yeah.
How about that shit?
That's a big set.
That's a long fucking set, man. That is long in freaking length. Look at the height, look at the width. It's long. Especially for a scale model set, you know? Like, I'm not talking like, I mean, we've seen these scale model sets where, like, they've put together, like, some of the structures, like the Eiffel Tower, the Sydney Opera House, the Colosseum. I'm not saying that any of these are anywhere comparable to them because, you know, really, all the overall dimensions, you know, like, you look into that, I mean, that all takes into account. But, like, for this set, for how big it is in length and for width, it's a large set. It's a very large set with small, small pieces. And I think that's that's what you have to really consider here. It's small pieces.
I really like how they did the nameplate for it.
Oh, yeah, I see that, where it's just like
I really like that.
And by the way, those are not decaled. Those are printed.
I wish they would do that for all sets.
Yep.
That's really nice.
Yo, how about this? If you're looking at the pictures, I like how they have three of the Lego brick separators. Usually you only get one of those in a set, so what the hell's going on here?
Oh, it's so big. It's probably so big they figured they'd give two extra ones.
Yeah, you're probably going to be, you know, breaking apart the edges there on maybe one, you know? Might need an extra.
Yeah.
But, oh my god, even, like, the detail, too. Like, you have to see the pictures here. The flag that they give you up on the top post of the top nest. And then where the wiring, like the suspension cables holding everything together. That is insane. Like, look at the suspension cables holding the stacks, the smoke stacks.
Yeah.
I mean, everything is so detailed. The lifeboats and everything like that. I mean, this was a good set. I mean, I think this was a very good idea. And I love the fact that they feature England's flag right in front of the ship. They have the United States flag up at the top because it was sailing to the United States before it obviously encountered its worst journey in April of 1912. And then in the back, they have its other British Isles flag as well. So I like the features of it. It's the very little details that that go into account. I just don't have an extra $700 laying around to buy this. I really don't. Tom, if you're listening to me, are you going to buy this? Like, I need to know. Like, I mean, this looks like it would be great on your mantle, like the fireplace.
Do I really have the money for the AT-AT?
No, that's what I mean.
Am I going to make it work?
I think now, both me and you we're putting pennies together. We're breaking open the piggy banks for that one.
I'm going to make it work.
I'm going to make it work too, brother. I ain't fucking letting that go. I mean, I know I'll probably get my ass beat.
If you don't get that set on Black Friday on release, you ain't getting it for at least a year.
I guarantee that, or at least the minimal wait summertime.
Yeah,
I agree with that. But yeah, my wife might beat my ass. She literally, I mean, making a purchase like that, like I could already hear it. We could have paid for this, or we could have done that. What the fuck are you doing? I'm sorry. I couldn't.
Priorities, man.
But yeah, priorities. Lego purchases are above all, you know? Sorry. It's not that I don't love you. I love the Legos. All right, so moving on.
Normal folk just don't understand.
Yeah, I that's what I mean. People, you know, like, I mean, this is a big hobby. I mean, people need to appreciate it. You know, I'm glad I never got out of Lego because, I mean, my God, you know, mm-hmm. But it's definitely burned a hole through my pocket.
Burned a crater through mine.
Oh, crater. Oh, man.
About to be an asteroid after that purchase.
All right. So let's finish up here. Mischief managed. So if anybody didn't catch our episode title in the beginning, we are at episode 70, if you can believe it or not. We're 30 away from hitting 100. And I think we will. I think we're going to hit 100 by summertime. But tonight, we thought that this was appropriate title because of the technical difficulties. We had to reoccur, get back together. And of course, we've the mischievous things that have happened to our audio. We had to manage it and get back on track. Not only that, though, there is a topic for a lot of Harry Potter fans, and Mischief Manage comes from that saying, if you didn't know, the Marauder's Map. So, and what this phrase is referencing to the Marauder's Map is that it's a magical document that reveals all of Hogwarts School's secrets. And what they do is, to access it, they hit the paper, the document, with their wand, and they say, Mischief Managed, you know? And maybe I'm wrong on that. I'm sure Jenna would, she's probably going to need to listen to this, and she's going to have to do one of those WNEP verify facts for us. She might have some more detail behind that. But I think that's the logic behind it. But either way, Harry Potter does hit the mainstream, comes back into pop culture because they are bringing out a quiz show. Did you know this?
No.
Okay, so they're going to be bringing out a quiz show that's hosted by Helen Mirren, and it's called Harry Potter Tournament of Houses. And pretty much what it's looking like is that it's giving fans a look at what the magical quiz show has to offer when it premieres. And what happens is that they have a team of houses going against each other for quizzes. I'm assuming the quizzes are strictly Harry Potter trivia. And, yeah, I mean, I think it looks awesome. I mean, the way that it's set up, it looks like it's in Hogwarts. I love that. Like, the set, it has the floating candles. So, like, I mean, it looks really, really cool. Quiz show is going to feature a beautifully decorated set inspired by the films. And we'll even recreate the Hogwarts letter sequence from the very first film, Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone. So I thought that was pretty cool, too. And it gives fans a brief look at, you know, different teams of Gryffindor, Slytherin, Ravenclaw, Hufflepuff. If fans are unable to watch the episodes as they air, they will be available on HBO Max at some point early next year. So it looks like, oh, and also the grand prize, all right, get this, grand prize that the people win. They're getting a short appearance in the trailer with contestants competing for the title of the House Cup champion. So they get the House Cup champion plus a money prize. So, I mean, that's like trophy and money, if we think about that. It's pretty awesome. Seems likely that at least one or two stars from the Harry Potter films will be making an appearance in some capacity, but they did assure that some people, and again, it's not revealed, that some people from the films may make appearance in the questioning process. So it premieres on November 28th. It looks like the source here, let me see here, it says, okay, considering how, okay, yep, it doesn't say where it's actually being appeared on. It might be Cartoon Network, maybe. Maybe that's Adult Swim. I don't probably. I don't know. But oh yeah, it shows here Cartoon Network. So yeah, looks like it's gonna be Cartoon Network and November 28th. Zach, did you ever watch the Harry Potter movies? Did you ever go through that? I mean, were you big into Harry Potter?
I mean, I thought it was all right. I wasn't really too into it, so.
So it's not like one of your
it's
big.
Not that I hate, yeah. It's not that I hate it. It's just it's not my thing.
Okay, but I mean, you know the basis of it, right?
Well, yeah, I know the whole story.
Yeah, and you know, I'm probably thinking because like maybe you had to read the books in school or something like that. You know, I don't know.
No, I never had to read them in school.
Okay. Actually, no, I'm sorry. It says it's going to premiere on TBS. Cartoon Network's going to replay they're going to do the replays. So I just found it out here. Academy Award-winning actress Helen Mirren will premiere on TBS starting Sunday, November 28th, with new episodes premiering every Sunday until the finale on December 19th. So let's recorrect that. It is not going to air on Cartoon Network. The replays will, however, be on Cartoon Network. So there must be an agreement there between TBS and Cartoon Network.
Yeah, there's gotta be.
Well, that makes sense, because didn't they have Family Guy on TBS, and then Family Guy went to Cartoon Network?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Adult Swim.
So there must be an agreement there between the channels. All right, so that's pretty cool. Mischief managed. Okay, moving on. Squid Game. Zach, did you get to watch that or no on Netflix?
I have no plans to, so if you want to spoil
it. Okay, well, it was a good show. Spoiler alert. Okay? It was a good show. Season 2 is confirmed. It is coming out. I don't have any major details of it, but 2 days ago, an article did surface where a director of Squid Game did make the confirmation of it that a second season is coming, because we got the speculation at the end there where we know it's going to continue. We know it's going to pick back up with something else. But I guess people were waiting for the next message because, you know, sometimes you do see shows like that. They do leave you hanging. And, I mean, hey, it's quite possible that they'll never get back to it. This case, not the case. They are going to release a second season. So it's in the makes. It will start production soon. And hopefully we will have a Squid Game 2, hopefully by next year of 2021, or next year of 2022. And then finally, we come down to the last topic, the Spider-Man poster. Zach, do me a big favor. Go to Google and research. Search the name, all right? Just search in Google, the Spider-Man No Way Home poster. The poster, the new updated poster was revealed this week.
Okay.
Okay. So if you see it, looks like Spidey's in his stance there. And all around, you can see all the catastrophic measures of trouble.
Yeah.
Okay. So, real quick, looking at some villains in Spider-Man, do you see any that are quite obvious?
Goblin, Doc Ock.
Yep.
Could be the Sandman in the bottom corner.
Well, if you're looking in the background of it, the sand streams, all that dust,
yeah,
that's the Sandman, yep. And then what about the lightning bolts? We do have confirmation there's four villains here. So you got 3 out of 4. Yeah. Electro's coming back.
Okay.
So I thought that was pretty cool because, you know, the speculation around the film is how it's going into the multiverse. He's going to encounter different appearances of different Spider-Mans, I guess, and then different villains. So we're getting the Dr. Octopus. We're getting Green Goblin. We're getting Sandman. And we're getting... Go ahead.
You wouldn't know this because you haven't seen the new
the Venom
movie, but there might be a fifth one in there.
It could be. It could be.
Just saying.
It could be. No spoilers.
I'm not spoiling anything. I'm just saying.
But
there's very, very high possibility there could be a fifth one.
Well, it's not ruled out because I've been reading some articles that they might feature a certain somebody coming in. So, but
that doesn't surprise me with how that movie ended.
Could he be a villain or could he be a anti-hero like Deadpool? We don't know.
I mean, honestly, the way that character is played, I could see it being Deadpool.
Yeah, right.
Being another Deadpool.
I'm still intrigued. Like, I want to know how they're going to make Deadpool actually work into the MCU. I mean, they're going to have to really put Ryan Reynolds on a leash and be like, yeah, dude, you can't say that.
I'd be the opposite.
I know.
I would take him off the leash and just be like, you do whatever you need to do and whatever you feel is right.
Well, right. I think that's going to sell more for Disney.
Yeah.
Don't put him on any limitations, but you know Disney is Disney. You got to keep it appropriate.
Well, obviously.
You know? But yeah, that's a wrap, and I think we're done here for tonight. So yeah, we miss Jenna. We hope Jenna's doing pretty well. We know that she's swarmed and swamped with so much work, and as are we too. I mean, we're going through it too. I mean, you're working a lot of long hours. The holidays are coming up. This is a very busy season for you, Zach, in retail. And, I mean, I can only imagine what people are doing, like, getting there and getting product and how your shipments are coming in and everything like that. Unloading trucks, loading things back on. It's got to be so hectic right now. And, of course, right now, as I'm dwindling down to the last 5, now going into 4 weeks of a semester, yeah, it's crunch time. There's a lot of work on our plate here, so... I'm thankful that, you know, at least I have something to kind of elaborate on. I mean, this is important. I mean, at least for us to come and have, like, conversation, be a little sociable, have some fun with it, you know? I'm glad we're able to do this, so I'm glad we were able to pick back up with episode 70.
Yep.
But, real quick, our winner of the Jack-O-Lantern contest goes to Ben Sisto. You are the grand prize winner of $150. Congratulations, Ben! Oh, my lord, your musical composers of Pumpkins have been quite the catch and quite the visual for a lot of people. So, yeah, congratulations to Ben. All right, if you have any questions, email us at garlicjarmedia@gmail.com. If you want to go over to our Facebook page, make sure you give it a like. And also, hey, within our areas of subscriptions for the podcast, Apple Podcast, Amazon, and of course, we're all on the other platforms of Spotify. Get in there, subscribe, follow, love us. All right, we appreciate all the support. And like we always say, we'll see you on the next episode. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.